The following message is a presentation of the Sun Life Radio Network.
The book of Romans defines and gives us the meaning of the new covenant. Writing in chapter 1, we'll begin at verse 28. The Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul said, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." This morning, I want to deal with the subject of secular humanism that is permeating our nation. It is an evil and it is a religion. Secular humanism is not a philosophy, it is a religion. They have their own Bible, they have their own doctrine, they have their own belief system, and believe me, it's 100% opposed to who we are and what we believe. In picking a title for this message, I want to give credit where credit is due. The title is not original with me. Actually, the title I've chosen came from a series of articles written well over 100 years ago in a Christian newspaper entitled The Sword and the Trowel. It was published by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers that England ever produced. He was a pastor during the Victorian era. At one time, he pastored the largest church in the world. And he wrote a series of articles dealing with a different subject, but the title is apropos, and that title is The Downward Spiral. The Downward Spiral. What I read to you this morning, it shows us a downward spiral. The more darkness accepted, sin never stays static. It takes one deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. As well, I don't really know this particular gentleman. His name is Steve Hall, but I want to thank him for some information that he wrote concerning secular humanism that I came across, and I believe in giving credit where credit is due. And so I want to thank him as well. The downward spiral. Would you bow your heads? Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the presence of the Lord that is in our house, this house. We thank you for the privilege to stand behind this desk to proclaim the Word of God. I believe that you have placed this message in my heart for a time such as this. I depend upon the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, speak through me. Let everything that I say, everything that I do be done to bring glory and honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But take this word to the hearts of your people, those here in the sanctuary, those that are watching, those that are listening. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody said, amen and amen. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to recognize that we're living in the last days. If you are a true lover of the Lord and a true lover of the Word of God, you know that right now we are living in the church age. Actually, we're living in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 presents two churches. The church of Philadelphia, that's the true church. The Laodicean church, which is the church that has apostatized. That's where we are. Revelation 4, everything past Revelation 3 has nothing to do with the church. That tells us that soon and very soon, as Dad quoted it a moment ago, the trump of God is going to sound. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the rapture of the church. I'm ready for the resurrection of the saints. Don't let some preacher tell you that there is no rapture, that there is no resurrection. I've got my eyes looking upward, and I'm waiting and listening for that day that the trump of God is going to sound. And it's not an escape mentality that some would say, but instead it's the blessed hope that every believer holds on to. But the Bible makes it very clear that before the rapture takes place, that evil is going to increase. That darkness is going to increase. Seven times in Revelation 2 and 3, the Holy Spirit would say, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." I'm going to warn you, every one of you and every one of you listening, you better open your ears. You better come out of your dullness and your apathy, and you better spiritually wake up, clean out your ears, and hear what the Spirit has to say. And the Spirit always has something to say. And what he's saying right now is, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. I'm about ready to bring you home. But until that trump sounds, there's going to be some dark days. We're living in a time where that which is evil is called good, and that which is good is called evil. We are living in a time that in the past, things that were hideous, horrible, and depraved and evil was done in secret no more. It's done in the open. We're living at a time never before recorded in history where a nation and people are shaking their fist in the face of God Almighty. We're living at a time right now that there is more hatred for Jesus Christ and more hatred for the Word of God than ever before, and more hatred for the true born-again believer. Now, why do they hate the Lord? Why do they hate the Bible? Why do they hate us? Because the Lord, the Bible, and true born-again believers reminds them of their sin. The reason why they hate the Word of God so much is because the Word of God, in no uncertain terms, calls what they're doing evil and a sin. And they don't want their lifestyle and the evil things they do to be called a sin. I believe, beginning in 2016, that we saw the hand of God divinely intercede on behalf of the presidential election. I believe that. I believe a few days ago in that mess in Washington that once again the Holy Spirit divinely interceded. I believe that. I believe that things are happening in the spirit world right now. The Lord is saying this: wrath is coming. Darkness is coming. It's coming. But I'm going to hold back the darkness for a time to bring the harvest in. This gospel shall be preached unto the ends of the world, and then shall the end come. And what kind of gospel is that? It's the gospel that says Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus delivers, Jesus baptizes in the Holy Ghost. It's not an Assembly of God message, not a Church of God message, not a family worship center. It's Jesus. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I believe that, spiritually speaking, that God has erected a hedge to hold back the tide and the onslaught of darkness. For that reason, for a whole lot of souls to come into the kingdom. That's the reason why every day I'm claiming Africa for the glory of God. I'm claiming Europe for the glory of God. I'm claiming Asia for the glory of God. I'm claiming the islands of the sea for the glory. I'm claiming the whole wide world for Sun Life Broadcasting Network. This gospel shall be preached. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're in a conflict today. What we have been witnessing, beginning with the election, what we witnessed in Washington, we're seeing firsthand the conflict that was once in the heavenlies is now being played out before our very eyes. It is the conflict of two religions. Now, Christianity is not a religion, but I'm going to use that term because we got a lot of people watching that don't know the Bible as well as you do. So I'm going to use that term religion just so they understand. We are seeing before our very eyes two religions coming face to face. One is the Lord Jesus Christ, Christianity. As I said, it's not a religion, even though I'm going to use that term. It is a relationship with a man, the man Christ Jesus. But that other force, that other religion, is secular humanism, which permeates every single aspect of our nation today. It permeates Washington. Our universities have become nothing more than seminaries to train secular humanist preachers. And do you understand what I'm talking about? Some of you are looking like preachers. They are bold in what they say. They are proclaiming their truth, which is a lie. They are preachers of unrighteousness and preachers of false doctrine and preachers of sin and hell. At the foundation, and I'm going to go through secular humanism, what it is, but at the very heart of it, is a teaching that hates Jesus Christ. In Washington, we've never had more elected leaders that are God haters. They hate Jesus Christ. They hate the child of God. We have, for the first time in our history of a nation, we have more elected officials who have no knowledge of God and no knowledge of the Bible. None. They are totally bereft of the knowledge of God. It used to be a while back that they may have thought something, did or wanted to do something, but the very fact that there were too many people with a knowledge of God around them, that they kept what they wanted to do in secret, but not anymore. They are open and upfront about what they believe and about what they want to do with us. And what they want to do against us is to shut our mouth, to make it a crime for us to speak out on sin. I'm going to cut through all of this. I don't care if they ever get power, they can pass whatever law they're going to pass, but I'm going to stand behind this desk. I'm going to stand in the spirit of John the Baptist, and I'm going to proclaim the word of God, whether here or in prison. I will not be silent. I'm going to preach the word of God. This mess in Washington that we all watch, let me get right down to brass tacks. There was only one reason why these people, in their anger and their hatred, tried to destroy a good man. And really, the man that they were attacking, it really wasn't him. It wouldn't have mattered if Donald Duck was sitting there. It wouldn't have mattered if it was a woman. They would have tried to destroy it. And I'll tell you the reason why. And I'm going to get, this cuts through everything. We have a strong element in this nation today, whether in Washington or in the State House or in our cities. They don't want anybody to tell them that they they can't kill babies. That's where the whole battle is. It's over abortion. And quit calling it abortion. That is a clinical term. They are baby murderers, baby killers. And as a watchman on the wall, as a minister of the gospel, I cannot stand behind this sacred desk and ignore the cries of the unborn. If the church won't speak up for them, who will? That's pitiful. That's pitiful. That's a pitiful response. Our blood should boil. There should be an anger and a righteous indignation against anyone that wants to take the life of an innocent baby. 1 million babies a year murdered. And that's what it's all about. That's the whole thing. That's the overwhelming issue. We don't want somebody to stop us from killing babies. Now, listen to this. The other day, I say the other day, I'm getting like daddy. It may have been 5 years ago. But it was in the news. Somewhere up, I think it was in Massachusetts or wherever, a man was arrested for killing some animals. I don't know, dogs, cats, I don't know, whatever. He was sentenced to jail for killing an animal or animals. The same judge, right after that, had before him a confessed man who practiced pedophilia, child molestation, who had ruined the lives of innocent children, and he was given a suspended sentence. What kind of country are we when we hold and value the life of a soulless animal more than the life of the least of our citizens who cannot speak for themselves? Come on, church, wake up! You got PETA. They will throw a fit because some animal is killed, but yet they won't say a word. They got a movie that just come out this week. Every one of you should see it. I haven't seen it yet, but I plan on entitled Gosnell. It's the story of the world's greatest serial killer. The world's greatest serial killer. And you don't want to know what he was and what he did? He was a doctor in Philadelphia that aborted babies, that murdered by the thousands. And yet the mainstream media tried to cover it up because they don't want their sin to be brought back and thrown in their face. Let me tell you something, folks. I can hear their cries, their blood cries from the ground. Somebody speak for me. Somebody speak for me. Somebody speak for me. Well, here I am. I'm going to speak for them. And every single minister of the gospel, you are a watchman on the wall, and you better stand behind that sacred desk and call sin, sin, and stand up for what is right and condemn what is wrong. We cannot stay silent. We cannot stay inactive. That's the reason why I'm pleading with you. Don't let the midterms go past without doing something. I'm trying. And what drives me crazy, they'll send the emails into Mother's Program or the calls, and it's from people who claim to be born again, spirit-filled, and they have absolutely no knowledge whatsoever. Do you realize that in many churches, that I'm talking about Pentecostal charismatic, abortion's not that big of a deal. I heard one so-called spiritual man, well, you know, yeah, it's bad. We shouldn't do that. But, you know, there's other issues. What other issue is greater than a human life? Hello? 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 What is humanism? Humanism, as I said, is not a philosophy. It is a religion. Secular humanism, now listen to me very carefully, it is a faith-based system. It's the wrong kind of faith, but it is a faith-based system. They have their own faith, their own doctrine. Secular humanism does not believe in God, period. Matter of fact, they not only don't believe in God, but they hate anyone that does believe in God. Now, do you understand that? Let me just go through some. The God of humanism is self. The humanist says, I am God. I will deify myself. I will worship myself. My purpose in life is to satisfy my needs, no matter what they may be. They elevate and deify man. Let me tell you something. If human beings were God, we're all in a mess. Here's our doctrine right here. When it comes to God, humanists do not believe that God ever existed. They believe that mankind is the highest entity. Man is the measure of all things. When it comes to Jesus Christ, they do not believe Jesus Christ ever existed. And if he did, he was just a man. And when he died, his body decayed and went back to the dust of the ground. And he was just somebody in history that was around for 33 and a half years, and he has no relevance in society today. Humanist says that God did not create the heavens and the earth. They act and talk as if evolution is a scientific fact. Never mind, they cannot answer the most simple question concerning evolution, and that is, what was the first cause? They can't agree. Well, you know, a couple of fish got together and they rubbed up against each other and a spot came up on one, and then that spot evolved into an eyeball, or some fish got washed up on shore and the sun hit it, and after a while it grew leg. Listen, if evolution was real, then we would see evolution being carried out every day. Hello, if evolution is real, it can't stop. It can't stop. And I'm sorry. Oh, I can't say this. I'm not seeing any gorillas turn into humans. And I'm not seeing any jackasses turn into humans. What was the first cause? Well, we know the answer. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Oh, hallelujah. God took nothing and made something by the power of his spoken word. And if he can speak creation into existence, my Lord, what can he speak into existence into your life? Hallelujah. Humanism says about the Bible that it's full of errors and contradictions. It's a fool's book, that it's not to be taken seriously. It's full of contradictions and mistakes. It's not. When it comes to self-esteem, humanism says that man is basically good. Now, let me just ask you, forget everything. Is man basically good? If man was basically good, we wouldn't need prisons. We wouldn't need police. If man was basically good, organizations like the KKK and Antifa, which is just another form of the KKK, they wouldn't exist because man is basically good. No, man is perverted. Man is born into original sin. Man is born cursed. We were born under a curse. That curse is eternal damnation, separated from God. But thank the Lord, in that garden, when Adam and Eve fell, the Lord came down and told Satan, "You have bruised my heel, but there is coming one that shall bruise your head." And 2,000 years ago, on Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ defeated the power of Satan, death, hell, grave, and the sin. He is victorious. And because he is victorious, we are victorious. They say that man should feel good about themselves, no matter what's going on. You see, the reason why they say that is they don't want... You see, even though they're evil, God placed in the heart of every human being something called conscience. That is a God-given thing. And even the most vile, they will not admit it in public. But when that light goes off and they're laying in bed, there's something inside of them. And this is what makes the rebellion so great. They feel this is right, but yet they rebel against it. See, here's the problem. You can rebel so long and so hard against conscience, conscience leaves. You have no more conscience left. This is what humanists teach about the sanctity of life. Man is nothing more than an evolved animal. And since man is nothing more than an evolved animal, some human life is not so special. Hence, we believe and support the killing of babies. We believe and support euthanasia, as they say. And some humanists, not all, but some humanists even support infanticide. Infanticide is when you kill your child up to the from birth all the way up to the age of one. They will try to rationalize why a mother would drown her one-year-old baby. That is sick. That is sick. That is perverted. This is what they say about sin. They reject the idea of a sin nature. They tell that you can do whatever you want to do. Your life is yours. You can live like you want to live, do what you want to do, as long as you don't hurt somebody else. Well, how do you define hurting somebody else? I can say I want to take all the heroin I want to take. I'm not forcing heroin on anybody else. I'm not trying to sell it to anybody. I'm just... But it doesn't hurt anybody. Yes, it does. It hurts your family. It hurts the government trying to take care of you because you can't take care of yourself. This whole mindset that I can do what I want to do and it doesn't hurt anybody, that's a lie. You better wake up to that. So since they don't believe in sin, then their goal of life is this: eat, drink, and be merry. While I'm here on this earth, my whole purpose of being, they say, is to satisfy the lust of my heart, the desires of my heart, no matter what the desire or what that lust may be. It's all right. That's the only reason why I'm here. That's what they say. They say, secular humans believe that since man is only a highly evolved animal, sexual gratification is not to be not denied as long as it doesn't hurt anyone. Once again, who defines what hurts? And since they don't want any boundaries on sexual relations, secular humanism says this: since man is merely an animal, no sexual acts should be considered improper as long as it doesn't hurt anyone. Which means, at its core, secular humanism supports organizations like NAMBLA, the North American Man Boy Love Association, where if they had their way, they would have the laws passed to make it legal for an adult to have sex with a six-year-old. That's how perverted we have become. When will people wake up? When will the church wake up and understand that without Jesus Christ, there is no hope for society? Without Jesus Christ, we're nothing more than a bunch of animals. But with Jesus Christ, we're not an animal. We are a child of the living God. Hallelujah. They say that if you want to have sex with an animal, it's okay, because it's not hurting anyone else. God, in the old covenant, wiped out entire nations because of the sins of bestiality and homosexualism. Humanists believe that some things are right for some people, but wrong for other people. And you just have to find what is your right and what is your wrong. But the reality is, in that mindset, there's really nothing wrong. Have you ever, they never come up with something, well, I won't go that far. Yes, they would. They believe that there is no really morality. That's just an ancient concept. No, it's not. Morality is at the very heart and basis of Christianity. Man was immoral. But the moment immoral man accepts Jesus Christ, his immorality turns into morality. Oh, hallelujah. Is anybody here this morning? Secular Human states that they believe that values, morals, and ethics are determined by each person for him or herself. Therefore, you have no right to tell somebody that their behavior is wrong. It may be wrong for you, but it's not wrong for them. Therefore, keep your mouth shut. It doesn't matter how much harm they're bringing. It doesn't matter who they're hurting. It doesn't matter. It may be wrong for you, but it's right for them. I'm so glad, as a child of God, I don't have to get up every day and wonder what's right and what's wrong. I have this. This is my compass. This is my roadmap. This tells me what is right and what is wrong, what is moral and what is immoral. And they will not practice. Humanists believe if you try to place your morals on someone else, that you are intolerant. Now, you know, here's the thing. They call us intolerant. They call us every name under the sun. We are, well, what did Hillary call us? The deplorables. So, Hillary, if you're watching television right now and you want to know what a deplorable looks like, here I am. This deplorable loves Jesus Christ as Lord. As a matter of fact, this deplorable loves you enough to tell you that if you will get down on your knees right now and repent of your sin and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, in a moment's time, his blood will wash away every sin and every stain and welcome you into the family of God. And I'll call you Sister Hillary. Family. To the humanist, family should never exist as it is defined today. In the Bible, a family is defined as a woman marrying a man, bringing forth children. It's the family unit. Now, we know that divorce happened. We know that people died, but the family unit. But they, here's what they do. They say, well, no, wait a minute. A family can be made up of unrelated individuals who share a common belief system, hence homosexuality. Oh, they can be parents. No, they can't. It is child abuse to put a child in the home of two women or two men. Or We don't need marriage at all. Marriage was the first institution created by God. That's the reason why the devil has fought the institution of the home so hard. He wants to destroy, because the institution of the home, man, woman coming together, is a picture of the relationship between the church and Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? They want us to, you know, like, well, you know, if we can just get this group over here, this group, that group. That's the reason why we've got all these little, everybody wants to have their voices heard today. And here's the problem. And I believe in freedom, but here's the problem. Our leaders are denying rights and privileges that we should have, and placing individuals who only make up less than 1% or 1.5% of the total population and giving them special privileges that we don't have. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the, listen, homosexual marriages have more privileges than we do. They are looked at as a protect, which means if they had their way, just what I said today, if they had their power, the moment I walked out here, the police would be right there waiting to arrest me. Because they don't want anybody coming against what they believe. Oh, I could go on and on and on with all that junk, but it's a religion. It is a religion that feeds the heart, the mind. It perverts them. The other day I read this in the incoming freshman class at Yale University. One of the most prestigious universities in the world. They only accept a certain number of freshmen every year. They did a survey, a poll. In the incoming freshman class, there were more freshmen that identified themselves as liberal, as homosexual, as transgender, than conservative. So in other words, the universities are denying really access to sensible people. Hello? And they're giving a privilege that they're denying from us. But I don't mean to be unkind. Who wants to go to Yale anyway? The preachers of humanism are the professors in our universities. That are in, and let me tell you, parents, you need to think about this. Colleges no longer operate in the realm of educating someone to fulfill a job. They're there to indoctrinate. They're there to turn out secular, atheistic humanists who will do everything in their power to push back Christianity, to silence our voices, to make the church irrelevant. But I want to tell you something this morning. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I want to say this to them. You can huff and you can puff, but you can't blow God's house down. Hallelujah. There's still some God-loving people that have a backbone in this country that will stand up for what is right. Now, in the text that I read to you, as the Apostle Paul, as the Holy Spirit directed him, he begins today, if you look at it in the light of the title that I gave this message, the downward spiral, he said, first of all, that when they refuse to retain God in their knowledge, that God turns them over to a reprobate mind. Now, what is the definition of a reprobate mind? It's simply this. A reprobate mind is a mind that is evil. These are the definitions. It is a mind that is morally corrupt. It is a mind that is depraved. It is a mind that is perverted. It is a mind that is unclean. It is a mind that is unwholesome. It is a mind that hearkens back to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, where the word of the Lord said, the thoughts of men's heart was only on evil continually. A reprobate mind is the end result of light rejected. Light rejected is darkness accepted. Church, the more light you want, the Holy Spirit will give it to you. But world, the more darkness you seek, the Lord will let you have that darkness until you're engulfed with it. Now notice this, the downward spiral. I got 15 minutes. He begins to list some sins. These sins are characteristic of what we're going to see and are seeing right now in these last days. This is the fruit. What did Jesus say about Christians? How do I know somebody say, you shall know them by what? Their fruit. Hello? It's not hard to determine who's born again and who's not. A born again person has fruit. Well, I got news for you. A reprobate mind has fruit as well. And this is their fruit. First of all, this is what the Lord said about them, that they are full of unrighteousness, which means they're unjust. They are opposed to justice. They're not comfortable with justice. They want that which is wrong. We've got a whole society of people in this nation today. They want what's wrong. They want what will destroy this nation. And the church is fiddling its thumbs and telling people how to get rich when they should be standing behind the sacred desk trying to make people ready and prepared to meet the Lord. Said they're guilty of fornication. That means the unlawful sex sins of single and married people. And some people have the mistaken idea that adultery pertains to those who are married, with fornication pertaining to those who are unmarried. That's wrong. Fornication pertains to anyone, and it includes sex outside of marriage, including homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, and pedophilia. The Greek word for fornication is porneia. It's where we get the English word pornography. The Bible said another fruit, a characteristic of their lifestyle, is wickedness. The Greek word is ethesmos, which means lawless, unprincipled, not in conformity to acceptable custom. For instance, the homosexuals of Sodom and Gomorrah, that word astema was used by the Holy Spirit in 2 Peter 2:7. Now stop for a moment. If you've been watching the news, beginning from the inauguration, these women wearing these vulgar the hats that represent part of the female anatomy. Do I have to spell it out for you? Every time they open their mouths, spewing out profanities, spewing out hate, spewing out, if they had their way, well, I don't want to go into all that, but they are wicked. They are no different than the homosexuals that God destroyed in Sodom and Gomorrah. Their mind is incapable of thinking wholesome thoughts. Covetousness, it means greedy. And it doesn't just apply to money. There are individuals that are greedy for power. That's what we're seeing today. We've got a group that they want power so that they can institute their own religion, secular humanism, and deny us the right to practice our faith. Maliciousness, which means not only doing evil, but being evil. They don't just do what they do that's evil. They do what they do that's evil because they are evil themselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? They are evil. When you looked at those people in all their madness and their screaming out there, they are evil. Their minds are given over to depravity. Envy, it means a jealousy which makes war upon the good it sees in another. This is ironic. They want to destroy us, but yet at the same time, they look at us and they recognize we've got something of worth. But at the same time, they try to destroy us. That is the corrupt mind of a sinner. They want to make war on us in the good that it sees the other. And in essence, it brings a conviction and a rebuke. Our life brings a rebuke to their life. And instead of accepting, then they try to destroy. We're living, let me tell you, if they had their way, we would not be here. Murder. Definition, of course, is one who commits murder, homicide. But let me tell you something. When you study this out in the Greek, it doesn't just mean the physical act of taking another person's life. There are millions of people today that are guilty of murder. They've never shot anybody. They've never stabbed anybody. They've never poisoned anybody. But they destroy people's reputations with their mouth. That's what happened 2 weeks ago. A whole group of our political leaders murdered a man's reputation. They are guilty of murder. Debate. It means strife, contention, wrangling. There's no talking to them. None. They don't want to debate. They don't want to talk. Deceit. It means to deceive or seduce into error. All sin is based in deception. They're not only deceived, but they're trying to deceive everyone else. Next, whisper, malignity. Taking everything with an evil connotation and giving a malicious interpretation to the actions of others, a nature which is evil, and makes one suspect evil in others. That means that what they do is everything that we do as a believer, they put an evil connotation to it. They try to take what we do that is good and twist it around to make it look like, yeah, we do this to get this. When the reality is, that's what they do. That's what they are. Whisperers, secret slanderers, accusers of backbiter. Did not we witness that a few days ago? Backbiters means evil speaking, railing. Defamation and accusation. I have, from the moment that I began to read as a little boy, I have had a passionate love for history. I can't tell you, I don't have the idea of the number of the thousands of books that I have read, and I am not exaggerating. I have read thousands of. And I never thought the day would come as a citizen of the most free country in the world that I would witness elected officials try to do away with the rule of law where someone is innocent until proven guilty. If that doesn't wake people up, nothing will. If they can destroy a man's rep like they did, what can they do to you? What can they do to you? And I don't mean to be unkind. Please. I know, oh, I don't. Just. Well, I've already got half of you mad at me. I might as well get everybody mad. Just because somebody says something happened doesn't mean it happened. And this idea, you should believe every woman. No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't believe everything you hear from a man. You shouldn't believe everything you hear from a woman. You shouldn't hear everything you believe from a teenager. You hear from a teenager. People lie. And women lie just as bad as men. Now, I'm going to get them. Ooh. I'm glad I'm going to Uruguay in a few days. They won't be able to find me. Haters of God. Singers, musicians, make your way back. Haters of God. That definition is enmity, hatred, hostility, defamation, active malice. They hate Jesus Christ. They hate the Bible because the Bible identifies what they do as sin. Despiteful, It means to use reproachfully, to treat with despite. I got her proud, which means boasting about what one is not or does not possess. Someone going about with an empty and boastful professions of cures and other. They go around boasting of their sin. The other day, and I don't remember her name, and I wouldn't call her name if I did, because I don't want to give the bimbo any advertising. She said, I want the whole world to know I'm proud of my many abortions. Boasting of the number of abortions. We saw the comedian got up in one of those, I don't remember, was in Washington somewhere, made the joke that everybody needs to have an abortion once. Well, she's right. She should have been aborted. You know I'm joking. Boasters, vaunting in those things, promoting evil things, inventors of evil things. It means that they're so evil that they sit around trying to find ways and invent ways to deceive and to destroy. Disobedient to parents, that means disobedient to authority or disloyal, but it doesn't just stop with parents. The Holy Spirit used that term, disobedient to parents, but it really means disobedience to any authority. That's the reason why we've got people, Antifa, that are taking over many of our cities, blocking traffic, causing commotions, trying to disrupt the role. They have no respect for authority. Listen, as long as I'm the pastor of this church, we will respect policemen. We will respect the military. We will respect those that are in authority over us, not the ones that are doing wrong, but if they're trying to serve in their position for our good, we will respect them at all times. Without understanding, it means not to recognize or know, to be ignorant, to be unacquainted with. Covenant breakers. What does that mean? A breaker of a covenant or agreement, faithless, treacherous, and the covenant that has been broken is the word of Almighty God. Without natural affection, without family love, hostile to benevolence, odious, hateful, implacable, the absolutely irresponsible person who, being at war, refuses to lay aside his enmity or to listen to terms of reconciliation. There is no meeting of the minds with these people. It is, we bend to their will or they destroy us. Unmerciful, the last one. It means without mercy, not compassionate. That's the reason why, since they believe that man is just nothing more than an animal, then they would be doing the world a service by getting rid of us. They're unmerciful. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is where we are. This is what the nation has come down to. This is the fruit of this nation. We have a time and a body of people that are shaking their fist in the face of God. But I've got to close with this. The word of God tells us, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Now that doesn't mean you do that. It means that they will stand before God and face the eternal judgment and the wrath of God, and the only respite is eternal death for those who rebel against God and His word. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them to do them. All right, that's all. Here's what I want to close with. It's bad. Darkness is coming. There's a lot of sin in the world. There's a lot of rebellion in the world. But at the same time, we're living in the greatest time in human history because we're seeing the hand of God at work. We're seeing the Holy Spirit push back that darkness for one more push around this world to see sinners saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, it's bad on one side, but on the other, wow! It's the most exciting time to be alive, because we're going to see the Lord move. You have a choice to make, church. You can try to make peace with him. There is no peace. Or you can do what's right according to the word of God, which is what we stand for: righteousness. Let them cuss us. Let them call us names, but we will not run. We will not bow. We will not cower in fear, for greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I just got to close it this way. What do you have to be ashamed of? You're a friend of God. You're a child of God. The Lord lives inside of you. You were once on your way to hell, but now your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus Christ is your Lord. He's your Savior. He's your elder brother. He's your healer. He's your deliverer. He's your baptizer. We've got something that the world needs, and we're going to give it to them. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Exciting times. Exciting times. For in the last days I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Okay, here's what I want you to do. We're going to pray for the Sherathon in a moment, but here's all I want you to do when you leave here today. Number one, do not dismiss what I preached. It's real. It's real. Number two, recognize we are the only light in the world. Not just the body of Christ. We're the only light. We're salt. We're light. We're the city set on a hill which cannot be hid. We are to let our light shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Heavenly Father. Simply put, this is what I want you to do with the message. Just be a Christian. On the job, in front of your neighbors, in the mall, let your light shine. And if somebody attacks you, don't get all upset. Just put a smile on your face and say, is that the best you can do? Is that the best you can do, is call me some names? Now let me tell you what, then tell them how Jesus died for them, how that Jesus can change their heart, can change their life. All right, I want everyone to raise your hands. As we are going to go to the Lord in prayer, we've never done a share-a-thon on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Somebody said, well, what's the big deal? Oh, it's a big deal. I mean, people get used to things happening a certain way. But there's reasons why we had to do it this way. It's not important. But I want us to join our faith together that God will move in this share-a-thon and the need would be met. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now as the body of Christ. Those here in the sanctuary, those that are watching and listening right now through Sun Life Broadcasting Network, I'm asking that you would begin to speak to their heart, move upon them as it regards what you want them to do in this upcoming share-a-thon. And then, Lord, open the windows of heaven and pour out your blessing on those who respond. Bless our operators, those that give of their time. Bring healing to their body. Bring prosperity to their soul. Bring blessing to them because they put the work of God first. And, Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory, and everybody said amen and amen. Do you have a good song to close up?
Jesus got a hold of my life.
That's it.
And he won't let me go.
Turn around, hug somebody's neck, tell them
Jesus,
you'll see him tonight.
Came into my heart, came into my soul. Used to be so sad. Now I'm free and glad. Jesus got a hold.
We hope you were blessed and enjoyed. Thank you for listening to this podcast presentation from the Sun Life Radio Network. This podcast is made possible by the generous support of people like you. To contribute to this work, please visit www.jsm.org or call 1-800-288-8350.